Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWIT.
Bandwidth for TWIT specials is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWIT Special number 116, recorded April 16th, 2012, the NAB Show. TWIT Specials are brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code NAB4. And by Pond5, the world's stock media marketplace. If you're a media maker who needs stock video clips, photos, illustrations, music tracks, or sound effects, check out Pond5 for instant downloads at the best prices anywhere. And for 50 files absolutely free through May 31st, go to www.pond5.com/twit. And by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync App Link. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice, helping keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Learn more about the technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology. Ah, hello everybody, welcome.
Hello everybody.
We are back at the NAB Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, and we are going to continue our live coverage from the NAB Show. Scott is here. Scott Wilkinson is here.
Hello, everybody.
I almost said Scott Merritt, the host of Tech News Geeks. No, Scott Wilkinson is here, the host of Home Theater Geeks. I hope you saw it. We had a wonderful Home Theater Geeks.
It was great.
Morning.
It was really fun.
A lot of fun. Went to Sony, Panasonic, Canon, and JVC.
Yep.
Saw 4K camcorders from both JVC and Sony.
Yep, and from Sony and Panasonic as well.
And Panasonic.
Yeah.
That's right. We saw, what else? 4K displays, of course. We saw OLED displays. Of course, we were very excited about seeing the Canon.
The Canon 1DX, EOS 1DC.
C, I keep saying X, 1DC.
Yeah, exactly right, which is 4K, essentially a digital SLR. That is mostly aimed at shooting 4K video. And, oh, by the way, it also shoots stills.
The C stands for cinematographer version or cinematography.
Right. Well, they're now launching a whole new line called Cinema EOS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that started with the C300, which they introduced last November, and it started shipping in January, which is a 1080p video camera.
Mm-hmm.
They've now updated it to the C500. Well, the C300 is still available if you don't need 4K. But if you do, then you go for the C500.
Right.
And that's another part of the digital EOS ecosystem. And now they have also the EOS 1DC, which also shoots in 4K.
Now, we didn't... We will send Alex Lindsay back there to talk with Canon about the camera from a photographer's point of view.
Sure.
But and somebody in the chat room is saying, hey, you got to see the Black Magic camera. And Alex did, in fact, go take a look at that this morning. We'll put all of that, everything we do, on the TWIT Specials feed. Home Theater Geeks will be part of the Home Theater Geek feed, of course.
Sure.
And so we have there is a ton of stuff to do. Scott Wilkins is going to go back out on the show floor and record stuff for us.
All day tomorrow.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I'll be covering a bunch of stuff tomorrow. And that's all pre-recorded, so that'll get posted into the feed, but it won't be shot. It won't be streamed live.
Yeah, well, it will, because what I'm going to be doing is sitting here, and I'll toss to it.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to mix it in. Oh. Yeah. We're mixing it in, baby.
Well, there you go.
We you know, originally the way we used to do that, we'd send the live view out in the field, and we'd toss to you live, but there's a lag. We could get the toss off, but then it was complicated.
Yeah.
So because of the digital delay, we said, well, why don't we just record those and ferry them back to this? So we'll be ferrying them back here and running them in our coverage. So that's how we're going to do that.
In other words, using SneakerNet.
Yes, that's what they call it, even here at the NAB show. Actually, it's interesting because one of the things we're seeing a lot of is workflow solutions, because these giant 4K and even HD video files require a lot of help to edit, to move through the system, to get out on the internet.
A lot of people are working on them, sometimes simultaneously.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And so really the amazing workflow, which is how the actual digital files get from one place to another, and different people work on them and then coordinate their efforts, turns out to be a really big deal. And it's something that most consumers don't even think about or are aware of, but it turns out to be critical for those of us who are here at the show. And I think you were right. During Home Theater Geeks, you said, you know what, this isn't really as much of a broadcaster show as it is a content creator's show.
Right.
And I really think that's it. They should call it the NACC, National Association of Content Creators.
It's got a good name, too.
Yes, it's got a knack.
Yeah. Well, actually, I found out earlier this morning when we interviewed the guy in charge of the NAB show that only 25% of the people here are broadcasters.
Broadcasters.
It is about content creation.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's bring Adobe up. Mitch Wood is here from Adobe. He's a senior solutions engineer for digital, video, and audio solutions. Adobe, of course, is one of many companies that are here doing video and audio and everything. Mitch, come on, have a seat. Good to see you.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey.
Scott Wilkinson, Leo Laporte, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
What's Adobe up to?
Talk right into the mic here.
Oh, wow. What have we not been
Yeah, no kidding.
No kidding.
It's been a very busy couple of months for Adobe, actually.
It's actually been a really busy year for us.
Right.
So we're on the verge of releasing CS6.
We're very excited about that. We play with it a little bit, but just love it.
Lean
into it, because we use very directional mics because it's so noisy.
So we're on the verge of releasing CS6. We're doing a little reveal this NAB.
Are we going to see it here?
We are. We're showing it at the booth right now.
Fantastic.
Not self-conscious at all. Okay.
There's a man who's going to touch you.
But don't worry about it.
So we've revved all the products. So we've got Premiere, we've got After Effects, we've got Encore, we've got Audition, and a new product, a couple of new products, actually. We've got Prelude, which is our logging and ingest app.
We were just talking about workflow, and that's a big problem here. We've got big files.
We also have our new color grading tool, SpeedGrade.
Ah, what is color graining?
Grading.
Oh,
color grading. Sorry. Reverb Mike in the color. Awesome.
Great.
Reverb Mike in the chat room is asking, when can we buy CS6?
Soon.
The perennial answer.
We don't actually have an announced date yet. So the way this stuff typically works is that when we show it, we do a reveal. Typically, we release it to the public within the same quarter.
It's pretty quick. Lightroom 4, we got it a couple of weeks for beta. I got to play with it for free for a little while, but then it came out. And I had to buy it. I was very happy to buy it. It's really fantastic. What's new in CS6? I saw the content, new content.
Oh, wow. We have
Aware Fill tool.
Cool,
oh, my gosh. Well, you had Content Aware Fill before, but now... Tell us about that. That's amazing.
Oh, in Photoshop?
In Photoshop, yeah.
Oh, we'll leave those guys to come up here.
This isn't your thing. Tell us about.
Premiere
and Audition. That's your stuff in After Effects.
Premiere, After Effects, SpeedGrade, Prelude. Love to tell you about.
I'd love to hear about Prelude, actually.
So sure, absolutely. A great place to start. So it's a brand new application. It's sort of a tool that we've been building over the last couple of years in conjunction with a couple of large broadcasters with three-letter names.
Yes.
They've helped us design it, build it, and bring it to market. And essentially what it is a great little tool for just bringing in tapeless media, setting up your metadata, doing some sub-clipping, setting in your comments, doing a rough cut, and then sending it on out.
So it's like Lightroom for Premiere in some ways.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. So it's a great way for assistant editors or interns or even producers to be able to get in there and do some work with the media and then pass it on to Premiere.
You know, it's funny because when I first started doing all this, we had to dig tapes. We would shoot tapes, put them in the machine, digitize them. That was the worst part of the workflow. Fortunately, we all shoot digital now. We don't have to do that anymore.
Well, tape, as much as we'd like to see it go away, it's kind of like that booger on your finger.
It's still around?
You just can't get rid of it.
they flick and it just keeps...
It'll be around for a while. Oh. I mean, everyone, even if you've gone to a tapeless format, you still have archives full of tape.
Right, so, right. Just one more headache. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Just one more headache for workflow.
Workflow is always a headache. It's just one more thing.
And then color grade?
Color grading, yeah, absolutely. So a new product called SpeedGrade. It's actually a new product to us. We acquired a company called Iridos. We acquired it about midway through the cycle. So it's in flux. It's being sort of brought into the Adobe family and the workflow. So we've given it a new UI, skinned it a little bit, made it a little more user-friendly. We still have some more integration work that we'd love to do, but this is a product that, you know, last year was $40,000, and now you get free in the box with CS6.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Oh, man.
Will CS6 have updates and new versions of Premiere and Audition?
Absolutely. We've done some amazing stuff with CS6 and Premiere. One of the things about Adobe is that we really pride ourselves on is working directly with our customers and making sure that they help us build the products. So one of the things that we were hearing from our customers is that our UI was a little too cluttered. There was too much empty space, a lot of unused space. So we completely redid the UI.
Wow.
You now have a much more pleasing, aesthetically pleasing user interface. We've added a whole new set of tools to Premiere. The hover scrub on the ingest and media browser, amazingly cool. So, you know, one of the great things about tapeless media is those really complicated folder structures, right?
Right.
So everybody loves that. And then, of course, those meaningless names that you see along with them. So media browser will actually allow you to go in and tunnel down through those folder structures because we understand the folder structures. And we just show you the media clips that you want. We give you a little icon. And you can scrub the mouse over it, play the clip, see it before you bring it in. And then once you bring it in, go ahead and begin your editing.
Why is it that AVCHD has that weird folder? Would you explain that to me? What is the point?
You might as well ask me why the sky is blue. You know.
It does. It's crazy. It's just crazy. Well, so you don't have to. You see right through that.
We do. We see
You're
right
not
through
fooled.
That. So we've added some dynamic trimming tools that are very similar to the Avid workflows. We've added one of my favorites, adjustment layers now in Premiere. So you can apply adjustment layers directly to the clips.
That's interesting.
We've redone the audio channel tracks. So we now have standard audio tracks and a new track type that we call adaptive track, which is great for archiving. We have given you some of the tools that you love from After Effects. So the warp stabilizer that used to only be in After Effects is now in Premiere Pro. You also have the rolling shutter adjustment tool.
Yeah, because now we're all shooting on CMOS.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
so this will fix that?
That's a big problem. Absolutely. So you can just now apply the rolling shutter adjustment and off you go.
Oh, baby. That's great. How about Audition? Anything new there? I for years, that's all I ever used because we did all audio.
You a big
audio.
Audition user?
Huge Audition fan.
No
changes there. It's just kind of perfect.
So, yeah, Audition has added a whole bunch of new control surface support.
Really? Oh, that's nice.
Of course, last cycle, we brought it to the Mac as well as the Windows side.
I know, and I'm really pleased about that.
And,
thank you. That will continue?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been bringing the application up to the standard that last time around, to bring it to the Mac, we actually had to sacrifice a lot of feature sets that we wouldn't have liked to have sacrificed. We brought those all back in. We've added a few new ones.
Great.
It's the full-featured app that we wanted to have before.
That's great. Well, Mitch, thank you so much for stopping by. I'm excited to see the new CS6 whenever it appears.
Well, come on by the booth. Love
I'll
to show it off.
There.
We've got
yeah.
some great workflows there.
Yeah.
A lot of, and we have some sneak products that we'd love for you to see as well that show off collaborative workflow editing.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing. And if you haven't seen it, I really recommend you take the time to just come spend a half hour with us.
I will. I'd love to come by. Mitch Wood, Senior Solutions Engineer for Digital Video and Audio Solutions at Adobe.
Thanks very much
for stopping by, Mitch. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Great to see you. See, what did I say about workflow? I told you.
You told me.
I told you. It's all
right.
About workflow.
It's all very important.
So I'm seeing this. I just don't know what it means. What does Package Saturday Setup mean? How are we going to... that's a package we have. Oh, okay. You know, actually, this is pretty cool. So we're in our sky booth.
The sky booth.
The sky booth. And
here
I just love this.
Overlooking the entire South Hall lower floor.
We first got this location at CES, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. And
yeah.
It really has been fun. But we like it best at the NAB show. This is our second year at the NAB show. Because there we are. Look at that. Is that me? No, that's not live.
No, that's not live.
Because I waved and nothing happened. I'm good at figuring that out.
Yeah.
But we like it at the NAB show because the folks right here, Blackmagic, pay the hall a lot of money to turn off these mercury vapor lamps, which are above us, which have this horrible orange cast. And everybody looks terrible during CES.
Yeah.
But now, We are in the beautiful space.
And we have lovely flesh tones.
Takes a lot of work. Jordan Nemero and Liz Romero drove the truck down. They packed it up all night on Friday. They drove the truck down here on Saturday, and they set it up. And this is what it looked like when we set up the booth on Saturday. Take a look. You could turn up my mics, yeah. So this is actually not just our booth, but also a setup on the show floor.
Yeah, not many people don't get to see that.
Don't. You have to have a special contractor's thing on your badge.
Yeah,
we got it right there.
Look at that.
So about, they estimate 95,000 people at NAB this year, 90 to 95,000.
That many. It's up from last year,
I think. Up from last year. Not its biggest ever. They told us that the dot-com heyday in the late 90s was the biggest at NAB. But it wasn't just NAB. Comdex was still around. CES was bigger,
right,
too. Everything was kind of a little overheated back then. But to put it in perspective, 150,000 last January?
150,000 at CES.
So it's not as big as CES. And actually, in some ways, that's a relief. It's not as jammed and not as crowded.
It was a little easier to get through the aisles during
Home Theater Geeks.
Yeah.
It's also, the people who are here tend to be pros.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
It's a little more serious, a little less of a kind of wild party scene.
Right, right.
And people are here, in many cases, with big money to spend.
With budgets. Millions
of dollars to spend. Which is interesting, because then they go over to the Black Magic booth and see how little they could spend to do the same thing.
Well, that's one thing we saw all through Home Theater Geeks, was that how the cost of these 4K projectors and 3D camcorders and so on is coming way, way down.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. And that's why I think this is really the National Association of Content Creators show, because this is a great show for anybody who was interested in video cameras, who's interested in audio, who's interested in creating content of any kind.
Yeah.
This is
a
wonderful show for that. So we'll continue with our coverage of the NAB show. We sent Alex Lindsay out with a camera. Always a dangerous thing to do. And look where he wound up. JK Audio. Let's take a look.
This is Alex at JK Audio. Now, these guys do a lot of glue. So really, it's like audio glue of piecing things together that a lot of us need in production. And a couple things here to take a look at. So the first one here, this is called a Remote Mix 1. Now, what this does is I've got an XLR input, and I can have a headphone output, and I've got some auxiliary ins and outs and so on and so forth. I can plug this into the headphone jack of my iPhone, and then I can actually just call into a radio show. So what I can actually do there is you can use this as kind of your remote mix to have someone that you want to interview. You can have, if they have an iPhone or anything that has that type of connector, you can actually just send them all the traditional stuff that you would send and have them just simply connect via the iPhone. You could even use something like Skype to do that. So it's kind of cool. Now, there's another thing that this may look a little esoteric for a lot of you, but there's a thing that we use a lot in production, which are these comms. And you see comms all the time, and there's different loops. So this is what a comm controller looks like. RTS makes this. This isn't JK Audio, but this is what it looks like for us. This is a large portion of my life. Anyway, so the problem that we have here is that I have a lot of productions that are all over the world. So we have people that are literally positioned in different parts of the United States, different parts of the world, and we want them to be in that loop as well. One of the things that we can do here is have them connect via Skype. So you could have someone connect via Skype here. Have this connecting via Bluetooth. So you can actually connect this unit to your Bluetooth phone. It doesn't have to be an iPhone. It could be an Android. It could be anything else that has Bluetooth connected to this. And then essentially what's going to happen is this loops right into the rest of my comm loop. So I could have people all over the world interacting with everybody in the facility that I'm working in. I know that, again, may not seem like the solution that you need at home, but it's really, really important for global productions, which is what more and more of these are turning into. A little headset here. This is the same type of thing. This just allows us to do Bluetooth connections to our iPhones that really gives you kind of the calm experience that you kind of want. And again, you can use a cell coverage or you can use Skype over Wi-Fi and connect everyone from all over the world. So they're fun little glue tools, and there's a lot of this that you see here at NAB. So hopefully you enjoyed it. This is Alex Lindsay at JK Audio for NAB 2012.
Alex Lindsay out in the field. We'll get more from him in a little bit. I use JK Audio stuff. In fact, for a long time, I used it as a phone interface, and I had what they call a Henry Matchbox, which is a great name for something that does very little. So the just a breaking bit of news, and thanks to the chat room for filling me in on this. This is coming from The Verge. Microsoft has announced, by the way, there's The Verge's coverage from NAB of the camera that we saw at Home Theater Geeks, the NEX FS700, a 4K camcorder. Well, that was the interesting story that he had for us. It's capable of 4K, but doesn't do it yet.
Right, right. It has a 4K imager, but it's going to need some firmware upgrades.
According to The Verge, they say, with an extra recorder attached after a firmware upgrade, you'd be able to get the 4K out of that.
Yeah.
But it is a pretty amazing camera, even at 1080p with 240 frames a second.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool slow-mo camera. We saw
Seriously.
That earlier.
Yeah.
And you'll see a demonstration of those things on Home Theater Geeks. But this is the story actually from The Verge a little bit earlier. Windows on ARM has officially been named. Microsoft has announced the naming for its Windows 8 series. There'll be Windows 8, Windows 8 Pro, and Windows on ARM, the tablet version of Windows, will be called Windows RT.
Hmm. And what do you suppose that means?
I don't know. Real time, retweet, really terrible. I don't know. And it's just hard to believe.
Why did they do that?
That they would name it that. But that's apparently, according to The Verge, the name. And this just in also, and I don't know, did they talk about this on TNT? We talked on Twit about the French designer Philippe Starck, who said, yes, I was working with Apple on a revolutionary product. It will come out in 8 months. Yeah. Turns out, according to Philippe Starck, he really was talking about Steve Jobs' yacht.
What?
Yeah, Steve's had talked about this in the book with Walter Isaacson. It was one of the last things he worked on. Of course, it was never completed and will probably never be completed.
No.
But apparently, Jobs consulted. Oh, now Starck says, actually, Laureen's going to finish the yacht, which is interesting. But Jobs consulted with Philippe Starck on the yacht. Says nothing you can buy.
I would have guessed it would have been the TV.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping. No, it's not the TV. I'm here with Scott Wilkinson. We were talking about, of course, all of the fun things, all the toys we're seeing here at the NAB show in Las Vegas. Our next guest is Don Wiener of T3 Media in Denver, Colorado. Don, you can come on up here, and we'll talk a little bit. Have a seat, Don. Belly up to the microphone, as they say.
It's Dan, actually, right?
Dan? Yes. Oh, you see, I my bad eyesight. Dan, mm-hmm. Nice to meet you.
Yes. Nice to be here.
How are you? Tell us about, what does T3 Media do?
So T3 Media is actually a company formerly known as Thought Equity Motion. We just renamed the company and announced that over the last month. And we are a maker of a video management and licensing platform, and this is for enterprise-scale video libraries. So we work with owners of very large-scale, high-quality video libraries like sports leagues and movie studios, and we work with them to store, manage, and deliver and monetize those video libraries in digital form.
You know, it's funny. It doesn't seem... It's crazy, but the two big stories at the show this year are 4K Media, and Workflow and Media Management Solutions. That's like, it seems like it's such infrastructure, but it's so important because you've got massive files, you've got lots of archival footage, you've got stuff on tape, you've got stuff digital, and keeping track of all that is murder.
Exactly, and it's been a, and over the last few years, we've kind of had this final, this transition to digital that we knew was coming has really crossed over in the last couple of years.
You think it's reached past the tipping point
now? Yes, it's past a tipping point in terms of people really working, you know, at the origin files, whether it's in TV production or in film production with digital files, and it's creating these, you know, multi-terabyte libraries that people need to address. And so they're needing to bring together the fact that they need to be able to store this in a cost-effective way, than a, potentially a more cost-effective way than storing it in their production systems, but then also having the metadata to access it and deliver it, manage internal workflows, and get it to where they need for both internal and external uses.
Well, I'm just glad they're saving them, because I think that was one of the kind of dirty secrets. We were talking about this earlier today in the tape era, was that stuff would last a week or two. We don't have the original Super Bowl. They erased the tapes and reused them.
Yeah.
The original Johnny Carson show, the first episode, reused.
Right.
So people are saving this stuff now, are
they?
Yeah,
more and more. I mean, an example of a sports client that we work with who went through a similar process as you're describing is the NCAA, where the entire heritage of their league and video of all the classic classic championships and Final Four was in videotapes in a basement. So, you know, problem one is obviously they're just at risk
they're
for
decaying.
Decay and all that.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But even after you get past the idea of are they somewhere safe and preserved, well, then they're not accessible or usable. So the work that we did with them was going from videotape to digitizing all of them, then applying metadata both at an asset level so you could kind of immediately in a digital library find the game you were looking for, and then even at a moment and play level. So now all of a sudden you can search the games, you can access them, and that helps
and find a particular play,
exactly. And that can work at an internal level if you've got researchers and folks within the league trying to do that, and then at a consumer level where they launch something called the NCAA Vault, where fans could now find a play that they liked, tweet an exact URL to a moment that they wanted to share with their buddies, and do that kind of thing.
That's what I was thinking. There's now money to be made. It's not merely so that we have a vault, we can go back, we can have a clip. Now there's money to be made because the fans want to see this.
Exactly.
And the internet makes it possible to store this massive amount of data in such a way that a fan can access it.
Exactly.
And that's very exciting. And in fact, it gives them the financial incentive to save all this content.
Exactly. And it's interesting because there's financial incentives on the kind of consumer and fan side, whether it's for sports or movies, mm-hmm. of people being able to find moments and share them or target advertising against them. And there's also ROI from an internal business process perspective. Rather than having to clip stuff around and send it around, or within a movie studio have business affairs or lawyers have to relook and reapprove clips, if you go through a whole movie and create a metadata track that has the rights, that has the information on when songs appear, and those
That's
kinds
great.
Of things.
Is Hollywood doing that?
Hollywood is doing that now, and it's enabling them to scale their publishing and their leveraging of their digital libraries.
That's great news. Yeah, we had, of course, I did a show for 6 years called The Screensavers and Call for Help on a channel called Tech TV. G4 has all those tapes recorded, you know, on
standard def, probably.
Well, yeah, of course, standard def.
Yeah.
And one only hopes that at some point, there's not much incentive, but at some point they will save these things, digitize them.
Right.
And make a fan vault somewhere, because there are fans who would like to see those.
And what's interesting is it does come down to kind of the ROI or the cost benefit. There's some value to these, but if it's expensive to do it, you wouldn't do
it. Is it expensive?
Well, it's become, I mean, that's what's interesting. In the past, it was fairly expensive both to do the digitization process and to store it and to
it's
do this.
It's time consuming
and time consuming.
Manpower.
There's also the metadata. You're talking about so much metadata in there about finding specific moments, plays, and so on, as you were saying earlier. That must take quite a bit of time.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's interesting. You can sometimes start with there's some initial metadata that may exist. There may be play-by-play. There may be scripts and transcripts that you can start with. Then there's some curation. And basically what we and other companies like us do is if you've got very flexible and rich tools for doing that curation and doing that logic, so you have a template for each sport that lets you curate it that way, the curation is relatively easier to do. Mm. And the interesting thing is if you do it right and do it initially the first time, then there's value to it because over the next few years, it can serve a number of different uses. Fans can find things, you know, a marketing department or promotion department can find things, business partners and production partners can. So that's where that kind of ROI comes in terms of if you make that investment early on, and as the cost of doing this has come down, all of a sudden the ROI kind of
reasonable.
Unlocks these assets.
That's exciting. people want to know more, they should visit t3media.com.
Yes.
And Dan Wiener is the EVP for products and technology there. Are you, are you excited about what? I got to ask everybody.
Sure.
What's cool at NAB? What have you seen that you like?
Well, what I think is interesting to see is, as you alluded to early on, we're kind of seeing this next generation of what's happening with digital and file-based workflows.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Every single booth.
It's huge. And we're seeing a combination. We come at this from an approach of really letting people use a hybrid model and having some of this storage in the cloud. And that's one of the interesting things you're seeing here as well, too, is more and more folks are figuring out what's their cloud strategy and what's their hosted strategy to not just be investing in servers and software and everything locally. So I think that's an interesting trend we're seeing.
We talked to Microsoft. They've got a big booth here. They want people to use Azure and their services. I'm sure Amazon also. I'm sure all these guys, Rackspace too.
Exactly.
Say, hey, you don't have to buy the servers. You don't have to buy the hard drives. We'll take care of it for you.
Exactly. And people are realizing
is that cost effective?
Yeah, I mean, in many cases it is. The pure hardware part of it is so expensive to do yourself. The trick is if you use, and of course I'm speaking a little bit of our approach here, but if you use one of these general cloud approaches, the storage and the servers are cheap, but if you're really dealing with video, you still have to figure out a lot of video-specific applications to go on the cloud. So what we try and offer is, you know, we don't do general storage, but this is a video vertical, video-centric cloud that we're providing that brings together that hosted storage with cloud-based metadata tools, cloud-based transcode access, you know, the ability to basically log in if you've got the credentials from a web browser anywhere in the world and browse your master
your
organization's assets.
Yeah. Holy cow. What cloud service do you use? You don't run your own cloud.
I'm sorry.
What cloud service do you
use? Oh, we actually do have our own data centers.
You run your own?
We do, yeah. We in Wyoming have a couple of our different our own data centers where, again, we've combined both cost effectiveness in terms of bandwidth, everything from bandwidth, real estate, temperature, all those things that are advantages of Wyoming with our own application layer, which manages video.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Dan. Thanks
nice
for coming
you. Thanks
by.
For having
I appreciate
me.
Thanks
it.
A lot.
Our show today, we'll have more from NAB coming up in just a bit. Our show today brought to you by our good friends talking about cloud at squarespace.com, right?
Absolutely.
A website is all about the cloud. It's about putting your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations, and your photos of your dog or cat on the internet. And that's what Squarespace. Think of it as cloud storage for your cat. I never thought of it that way.
But it's perfect.
But it is. Or whatever. You know, whatever you're into. I want you to visit it right now, squarespace.com. It's a very neat solution that is both storage, server space, and a great content management system on top of it. It's kind of, you know, Dan was saying that what they do is you know, designed specifically for video folks. Squarespace is designed specifically for you, for your blog, if you're a photographer, for your portfolio, if you're an artist for a portfolio, if you're a restaurant, put your menus up there, beautiful pictures of your establishment. Every business needs to have a website. It's just as important as having a phone, and Squarespace makes it easy. My friend Alex Lindsay says he was at a restaurant, and they didn't have a website. So he went to squarespace.com, clicked the try it free button. While he was eating, he set up, you know, the website. But all you don't need a credit card. This is a nice thing. You can do this for a friend. Name of the site, email address, and password. He set the whole thing up while he was eating because it's that easy. They've got all these great templates, the plugins for social integration, the stats, everything. And then as he's leaving, he pays a check and says, oh, by the way, I set up a website. You got it for 2 weeks. If you want it, go to squarespace.com. It's, by the way, very, let me go to the pricing, very affordable. $8 a month if you buy it for a year.
Can you believe that?
I mean, that's hosting and the software, everything. I guess because they're competing against free services, they've got to be competitive. But I'm telling you, that's a great deal. And I'm going to make it even better. You're going to get 10% off your first purchase when you use the offer code NAB4. So now it's $720 a month. By the year package, right?
Yeah.
If you want, they have more features if you want unlimited pages, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storages.
Virtual storage, I think you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Well, they'll do this for anybody. If you know, your site gets overwhelmed, they'll take care of it. They just turn on more bandwidth. But the ideal would be to pay for the unlimited bandwidth. You get four audiences, which means you can have people pay to have access to a special part of the site. That's an audience. You can have unlimited editors so more people can, you know, post content on the site. That's for like businesses and stuff. That's only $16 a month. It's really amazing. They have changed their pricing, and I can't believe how competitive it is. Look, you got to try this. Squarespace.com. I was talking to Brian Brushwood on NSFW. You know, they when they do these ads, they tell everybody to go out and create a site, make up some sites. And I said, don't they mind? Doesn't Squarespace? He says Squarespace loves it because they know if you start using it, go ahead. And if you've got a Christmas tuba site that you want for 2 weeks, just do it.
I'm going to do
it. It's a free site. Squarespace.com. If you decide to buy, and only if you decide to buy, use our offer code NAB4. Stop putting it off. You know you want to. Squarespace.com. All right, let's move on. We are at the NAB show. I'm here with my good buddy, Mr. Scott Wilkinson. He's the home. Now, would you go to this event anyway if you were...
If I wasn't with Twit?
With Twit. Is this kind of the home theater thing or no?
It kind of isn't. And yet, now that I've been coming with you to the show for the last couple of years...
It kind of is.
It kind of is. I wouldn't have thought so, but seeing how... taking a look behind the screen is really where it's at. And consumers, I think... I'm certainly interested as a consumer of movies and TV.
Dude, we're seeing camcorders that shoot 4K video.
Yeah.
We're seeing camcorders that shoot 3D video.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear that this stuff is trickling down.
It is.
And fast. That's the thing that's changed. You know,
really
you might have
fast.
Gone to this show 20 years ago, and you would say, well, someday we'll see this stuff. Now it's like, well, you see it next time, next year.
Right.
It'll be next time. They'll have it.
Right.
Hey, let's welcome Skip Levins. He's VP Biz Dev for Active Storage. Hey, how are you doing, Skip? Welcome.
Doing great.
You having a fun NAB?
Absolutely. This is. I mean, you're probably one of the busiest mans on the show floor. And
I love it. We've been walking all around, seeing stuff.
There's a ton of energy in the show. I mean, everyone's booth is larger.
Does it feel different?
It really does.
And
it
what
really does.
To what do you credit that?
Say again.
How come?
You know, it feels like business is turning around.
Yeah.
Media and entertainment has always been one of those luxuries everyone spends on.
It's a luxury, and yet it's the first luxury that people want to spend time on, spend money on, because it is an entertainment. It's a take me away from my problems kind of thing for
absolutely.
A little while.
Yeah, you're talking about 4K and how today we're grappling. You know, it's just so easy to deal with media when, imagine 4 years ago, imagine trying to explain to yourself for the future in 4 years what you will be dealing with.
Right.
A lot of our customers at Active Storage.
Well, yeah, let me ask you, what is Active Storage? We kind of launched into this conversation.
Great question.
Yeah.
So at Active Storage, we, a lot of us had our roots in Apple, and we were at Apple for the Final Cut Revolution. And,
right.
And I
you're
was,
the guys who are making Sir XServe. You took over XServe.
In a way, we took
you
over.
You saved our asses.
You remember the XServe raid? Well, so we build a product that kind of picks up in many ways where the XServe raid left off.
Because they discontinued it in Cupertino.
And very similar, where the XServe was a great metadata controller for XSAN,
right.
We released ActiveSAN. And ActiveSAN is a great way to stand up a media SAN very quickly. So that's what we're known for.
We use a SAN. Whose SAN do we use? Okay, so maybe we should talk to these guys.
Are you having SAN problems?
Yes. It's a pain in the SAN. So the whole thing about a SAN is it is a massive storage device, storage area network that's on a fiber connection, right? So we record our video to SAN in Apple ProRes. The editors, as soon as the recording stops, start editing in Final Cut. There's no sneaker net. There's no moving these files around. And they're big files. We're recording high-quality video. And
absolutely.
So a SAN is huge.
The file-based workflow, everything's digital. There's so much value in having everything in a big shared volume where everyone can access it. And frankly, it's one of the hardest computer challenges there is.
Is it really? Is that why we have so much trouble with it? Because
it just seems like it's really
hard can it be? It's a hard drive. It's hard. It's complicated.
Absolutely. And you need something. You need a SAN to be able to man. So what happens when two people want to use a file at the same time?
Exactly.
That's where the problem starts.
Yeah.
And that's where a SAN, in our case, a metadata controller like ActiveSAN, now called MSAN, actually sits in the middle and makes sure that people get the files in order and that there is no collision.
We bought an XServe to be our metadata controller. We had to. In fact, that it wasn't reliable until we did, to be honest.
Right.
And I was kind of sad that Apple kind of killed. They both killed XServes and XSANs, right?
Apple no longer make the XServe or the. They do make XSAN.
How do you control it?
So here's how we tie in. We build the storage. We are a storage platform, and our customers are really sort of we're fortunate to work with some of the most recognized media entertainment brands, Showtime, MTV, NASCAR.
And they use it the same way kind of we do. It's
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everything's digital, and everyone needs access to it at the same time.
Right.
And you can't wait for one person to finish production before it goes to the next stage of production.
Right, right.
And this pace is just accelerating. Really leading edge companies like the Showtimes and the NASCARs of the world, the challenges they're facing, they need to concentrate their assets in massive, massive density. Because when storage is concentrated in one place, it's way the media assets are more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
The more metadata, the more concentrated they are, the easier they are to pull back into your workflows.
How much storage are we talking about here? What is the typical SAN?
Petabytes are now common.
Petabytes, yeah. Thousands of terabytes.
I think we have a gigabyte, but maybe that's the problem. We have to keep clearing off the SAN.
Petabyte seems to be the new norm.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Petabytes?
It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
And the pace of acceleration, it seems to be accelerating all the time.
What's after petabytes? I think exabytes.
It's exabytes.
Yeah.
And then
so,
zotta and yottabytes.
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 Yes, and then it's yottabytes. The other thing that ties into what you were talking about earlier is people need their media, their HD files on Showtime, mm-hmm. up to 30 or 40 different platforms.
Mm.
So they may cut a movie package to talk about, say, something like Dexter, but it needs to target up to 30 or 40 different phone platforms.
Wow.
Like the web. Talk about trying to do that with any other system.
Do on-demand systems use that kind of active storage?
It's, sure.
I mean, I was always wondering, how does Xfinity... How can they could start a movie like for 1,000 or 10,000 customers? They must have something like that to
right.
do that. Yeah.
And what's really interesting is how do they cut that package before they hand off to something like that?
Right.
So in our case, we very similar to the Apple products. They were built on open standards. You know, they work together. That's our philosophy.
That's cool.
We just help enable many different solutions. Open standards win because things can work together, and we help integrate it and stand behind it.
So were you at Apple before Active Storage?
What's that?
Were you at Apple before Active Storage?
I was.
Yeah.
In fact, I was a server and storage technology evangelist, and I got to help build out the whole ecosystem around that. It was very exciting.
So did you guys kind of know where the writing was on the wall and say, we better get out of here, start a company, because any minute now, or did somebody come up to you and say, hey, could you please start a company because we'd like to get out of this business?
Put it this way. When you get to see all the great customers that Apple had, and you can see where the trends are going. You can see what's happening. All these great customers we work with, we work with them today. That's the beauty of it is trying to look ahead and build something for what customers are going to need in a few years as opposed to.
That's neat. Well, we should talk to you, Skip. I'd love to replace our SAN. Very nice to talk to you. Active Storage is the company, ActiveStorage.com. Skip is a biz dev guy there. It must be fun because you get to work with everybody in Hollywood and. You walk in the door and they fall to their knees because they're so thrilled that there's something to replace XSAN and XServe because that was a huge loss. I mean,
it's been great.
I know Alex was crazed when that happened.
The creative work our customers do is
fun,
the most
huh?
exciting.
Yeah.
We get to enable it and help make it
You get to be involved
happen.
In it, yeah.
What file system do these typically use? Are they
MSAN is based on the StorNext file system.
Okay, so it's a specific file system for this particular.
Yes. Which is not to say many customers will go ahead and directly attach it to their Mac or even their Windows.
It looks like an HFS system.
And it's, yeah. Exactly. It just looks like a gigantic.
But it isn't really. Underneath, it's something much more sophisticated.
It would be a RAID 6 volume, and you could format it for Apple on Windows.
Oh.
Format it for Windows.
Oh, okay.
But if you want to aggregate and start building those petabytes in SANs, then you need a SAN to help.
Right.
Make lots of disk look like a gigantic volume up in the petabyte range.
Yeah. So. Our SAN has just got like this row of disks. It's like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Too bad we got the 200 megabyte ones. We should have probably. Thank you, Skip. Nice to meet you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, those are so last year.
I know. Well, as soon as he said Xserve, I realized, oh, Active Storage. I know who those guys are. They were like the White Knights who came riding in and saved our bacon. We are live at the National Association of Broadcasters show, which is totally poorly named. This is a show about content creation. Anybody who makes content, this is the show for you.
That's right. Very
exciting.
TV, movies.
And PC Guy, iPad, you want to know what the cost of a SAN is? If you have to ask, you cannot afford one. Mm-mm. That's all I can say.
Especially in the petabyte range.
Petabyte? How much do we have? 30 gigs? 30 terabytes? 16 terabytes, $30,000.
Holy Just to smokes.
Put you in the ballpark.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not enough. By the way, 16 terabytes, nothing.
Nothing.
We have to wipe it all the time. And I'll tell you, you don't want to wipe somebody's sand. It's no fun.
No.
We're going to be back in just a moment. We've got more guests. In fact, we're going to head out to the field. Alex Lindsay, get ready. Get ready. Get your rag. There's going to be some drool cleanup on aisle two. Alex is going to the sound devices pavilion.
Oh, man.
He loves these guys.
I do, too.
You know them?
I do, very well.
Yeah,
If you're going to do audio field recording, they are the company.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll find out about it. And video, too, now.
Oh, video, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby. But first, if you need content, you know, I bet, I should check, Pond 5 probably has some tuba. But I'm just going to check for you. You know about Pond 5?
I want to know about Tuba.
If they don't have Tuba, you should upload Tuba sounds to Pond 5.
I will.
They've been handing out beer here at the NAB show. If you go to the Pond 5 booth, they've got a little beer garden going on.
I missed it. I have to go.
No, 3 to 6. You got plenty of time.
Okay, good.
And then tomorrow, too, and Wednesday, too. Because they want to talk to content creators about putting their content on the world's stock media marketplace. It's great for content creators. You set the price. You get industry-leading royalties. And I'll tell you, if you just look at pond5.com, you'll see the variety of stuff. Prices start at $5 for stock video and music, $2 for sound effects. Let's go to the sound effects section, and I'll show you how easy it is to find what you want. You just type T-U-B-A. Now, you can select whatever you want. And I don't think we want an explicit tuba, so I'm going to use the explicit filter on there. Uh-huh. Tuba comedy.
Well, that makes sense.
Tuba comedy. There's a lot of comedy tuba.
Well, tuba's a very comic instrument.
But do you... Listen, if you have an elephant video...
Scott, I love it.
Somebody has beat you to the tuba category.
Look at all those tubas.
There's a lot of comedy tuba. These are great for cartoons, for sound effects. Imagine you're making your video of your child's first steps.
Pond5.com.
And you want to put the soundtrack
put
to
a little
your,
oompa into your life.
There you go. Everybody needs a little oompa in their life.
What's great is you can preview it all, as you can see, even the audio stuff. They have a little audio watermark in there, so you can't use it.
Right.
Sound effects, after effects, music.
I'm digging it. I'm totally digging it.
A lot of tuba, baby. They have illustrations in all different categories. I guess this would be called clip art, but not just clip art. I mean, they also have background photos, all sorts of stuff that you could use for your presentations. Look, a kitty.
Aww.
This when you make your kitty blog. If you don't have a kitty, you can get some kitties at Pond 5, and they're cheap. And the nice thing about Pond 5, royalty-free, so that means you pay for it once, $5 or whatever, and that's yours. Use it forever. Use it in any medium. It's yours, okay?
Wow.
Now, as a content creator, this is a great place. If you've got, I mean, somebody like you, Scott, said, I think they need more tuba. And they went and they made some tuba stuff. And they put it on Pond 5, and now they're going to make money. It's just kind of an annuity that'll continue. Did you like this watch? As I browse through the video, you can just see what the video is going to look like by hovering over on top of the video. Now you're going to do a little 60-minute show. Stopwatch ticking.
Oh, perfect.
Football macro. This is really cool.
Pond5.com.
Content creators, content buyers. These would be so good to have in your next video. But I got, you know, in fact, we told people about this earlier today. They just started doing this special offer. www.pond5.com/twit. Okay? www.pond5.com/twit. They're going to give you 50 free stock media files.
I'm going to go get those tubas.
Somebody said, well, not that one.
Oh.
You, just a variety. Like, just, it's just a sample. You can't choose what you're going to get.
I see. Okay.
There's a New York subway train arriving. But you could use these. Oh, look. End titles. Look at this for your next movie.
Beautiful.
If you want to make The Artist, you got it. You're done. Little music samples. These are all free for you to use. How about a little back in www.con5.com/tweet. Ooh, ooh. Head on over to Pond 5. The world's... There's got to be... You think you... Somebody said, is there any cowbell? Come on.
There's got to be a cowbell in
Let's
there.
See if they have enough cowbell. Oh, yeah, they got cowbell.
You somebody else asked if there was any sackbutt samples in there. Now, that would be that
You know what?
Be
you could be Mr. Sackbutt.
I could put some sackbutt
samples. How do you spell it? S-A-C-K-B-U-T?
That's it.
That's the medieval instrument that Scott is the only one who plays. Here's a guy playing a trombone from behind. I don't know. Let's maybe not play that one. You know what? There is not any sackbutt audio.
No sackbutt.
I think this is it. You could own Pond 5 in the sackbutt category. And think of all the money you'll make.
I'm going to grab it right now.
You set your own price.
Yeah.
50 files free. Go to www.pond5.com/twit. You do need to type the www in front of that.
We did find out.
We found that out, yes. And I thank Pond 5 for supporting our Nanny Bee coverage. They're here. And we're going to go over there, actually.
Oh, cool.
We're going to have a little party at the Pond 5 booth. Now, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, get your rag ready. We got drool cleanup on aisle 5 at NAB. Alex Lindsay, yes, he headed over to the Sound Devices booth. Take a look.
Hey, this is Alex Lindsay at Sound Devices with John Tatoulis. Hey, John.
How you doing, Alex?
It's good to see you again. We use a lot of Sound Devices equipment. I mean, in fact, I sometimes think that we're like a Sound Devices rental company. But one of the things that we're really excited about is the upgrade or the new products that came out this week. We have a 220 and a 240 in the office. These are PIX 240s. They're recorders. But there's now a PIX 260.
Yes, right. The 260 is something that a lot of PIX 220 and 240 customers wanted additional control.
That was me. That was a lot of them, and I was one of them.
So what we've done is we've changed the form factor. So now this is a rack-mounted piece. It's 2U high, half rack wide, so you can put two in a single width space here. And so what this is essentially is the core is a PIX 240, which is a powerful recorder that records directly to ProRes or DNX HD files. So you can come in with an SDI signal into it or an HDMI signal, and then that's going to record directly to file. And those files are recorded onto these drives. And so this is a solid-state drive, and we have a little caddy device here so that you're not swapping the drive itself, so you're actually swapping the caddy. Because on a drive here, these edge connections are only rated for about 150 insertions. So if you're constantly swapping drives, you're going to wear these things out, and your reliability goes down. So this is the drive caddy bay here, and it's behind the screen here. And
those have, can you, one of the questions that I have about that is that, so if we have these two drives here, can I record to both of them at the same time?
You can record to four media simultaneously. You can record to those two drives as well as to two eSATA connected drives. A lot of times what we heard from customers is that they want multiple copies at the same time. They want one to go to editorial. They want one for the writers because they want to review the material. So now, immediately, you've got these ready files. Off you go, and they might go to four different places simultaneously.
And that's the big thing that we have to deal with, is that a client, as soon as we're finished, our client wants us to hand off that drive. They want to have it, and usually there's this long copy process, which is why we've been, you know, dealing with Thunderbolt issues and all those other things, is to be able to get that over there. But now these two, and so these are just standard SATA connections.
Yes. So those are standard eSATA connections. So any volume that you attach, so you can put a big, massive drive attached to it, and off you go. The additional things on the PIX 260 is that we also heard that from a lot of shows, they're doing a lot of dialogue-heavy stuff, and they want to do ISOs. And it's nice that our 7 series, our 788s, can do multi-track, but if you already are recording this, what we've infused the PIX 260 with is up to 32 channels of audio I/O. So we do that with 8 channels of analog, 8 AES. You can do 16 channels of embedded SDI audio, 8 channels of embedded HDMI audio. And you can do up to 32 channels of audio over a protocol called Dante, which is an Ethernet-connected protocol. So 32 channels of audio in and out over this Dante protocol.
Now, you can do more with that Ethernet connection, right? I mean, you can get some control aspect.
Yes, you're right. So Ethernet can also allow this device to sit onto a network. You can address it as a web server, basically, and directly control the device. So it's
so essentially, I could do it not only from anywhere in the office, but anywhere in the world.
Right, anywhere it's network attached, essentially.
And as far as the power is just a standard, this is a standard 4-pin. This is a change from the stuff that a lot of sound devices...
Right. It's actually the first full-size 4-pin connector we've had, and the reason is we finally have some panel space to actually put a full-size connector. And, you know, if we can, we'll put the biggest, strongest connectors we can, but most of our stuff has historically been extremely portable, and connector space is always at a premium, so we try to find the suitable connector.
Now, with the 32, one of the things that's very valuable to us in the 240 and the 220 is individual audio delay on every channel. Do you get that with all the channels that are coming in?
Right. And that's important, especially when you're mixing sources, because you might have analog coming in, and that's going to hit this real time, and you're going to have SDI coming in, and that SDI may be delayed because every camera's got a certain amount of delay as it's going through its processes and its converters. So you need to be able to set those values. And because you can set any input to any type, so if we go into this menu here, we see the audio inputs. We can take input number one, and it can be either SDI, it can be Dante Receive. So there's, you know, a tremendous amount of control of what you want it to be. You need to be able to go in and delay each individual input.
It's kind of mind-numbing, you know, to think about, but it's very, very powerful. Anyway, this is the PIX 260. Thanks, John.
You're welcome. One quick thing to show is that a lot of times you're laying off files, and the speed of a USB 2, you know, oftentimes people are connecting, and they might have a Mac OS in world, and they're connecting over USB 2, and that's just going to be really painfully slow, especially at high data rates. So what we came up with is a little receiver for it, so you pop the caddy into here, and it's got an inner eSATA connection, and now you've got a Thunderbolt connection. So to a Mac OS environment, for those machines that support it, you now have a Thunderbolt connection.
Well, we haven't been doing that. We've been taking the drive like we shouldn't. We've been taking the drive out, connecting it via something that looks like that, yeah. and getting it going. And the transfer speeds that we're seeing, 220 megabytes a second.
Yeah, it's really a major benefit. Yeah.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm Alex Lindsay, and this is Sound Devices at NAB 2012.
Alex, you can only insert that drive 500 times. So stop taking it out of there. That's cool. So, you see, they do audio and the video. And he was talking about dialogue. When we were visiting the set of Dexter, that's exactly what they do. The guy is recording audio. He's sitting. It's so funny because Dexter is shot on a soundstage, movie style. In fact, it's the same soundstage that they did a bunch of famous movies on. They have a plaque in front of all the sound stages in Hollywood that say, you know, I think Pal Joey was shot there with Frank Sinatra.
Wow.
And so it looks like Dexter's in Florida. He's not. He's in a sound stage in Hollywood. But the sound guy's like behind the window or behind the door. He's sitting there and he has a sound devices little box there. Mm-hmm. And he's also got a larger mixer. And I said, well, what do you do the two things? He says, we ISO all the dialogue and the sound devices, then pop the compact flash card. And as we're shooting, we give that to the editor so he can start doing scratch editing with it, because he has the scratch video and then he also has the scratch audio.
Right.
And can start doing scratch editing before they're even finished for the day shooting.
Jeez.
It's really cool.
That's amazing.
What people are doing. That's another workflow solution.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to, I think we have another Alex segment in just a little bit, and also Geir Skadden is going to join us from DTX. Before we do that, though, I should mention our friends at the Ford Motor Company. I was talking with somebody earlier today who works with app developers to connect apps to the knobs in head units in cars, you know, if you get an aftermarket third-party head unit.
Yep.
But, you know, if you have a Ford Sync, you don't have to do that because Ford has an API. They've got a developer network. They're working with app developers to take the apps that are in your Android or iPhone or Windows phone and make them work with Ford Sync. You know, I've talked about Ford Sync before. That's the idea is keep your hands on the wheel, your eyes on the road. You're a better, much safer driver than if you're looking down here or twiddling a knob. You want to face forward, be driving, but then you talk to your car and tell it what you need. You say, car, car. I want
dude.
Set the temperature. Dude, set the temperature for 73 degrees. He goes, yes, sir. Or, well, not exactly, but it's something like that. You could ask for directions. You can dial a phone, obviously, if you've got a phone in there. And I think that's what gave the Ford engineers the idea. Why should we stop with dialing the phone? Why shouldn't you be able to control other devices, other features of the phone with your voice? So they came up with AppLink. The idea of AppLink is a developer can write an app that works with Ford Sync. There are already quite a few. Pandora, for instance. So if you've got your phone, you've got it connected. There's a USB port in all Ford Sync vehicles, but there's also
Bluetooth.
You know, Bluetooth. If you've got it set up so that's connected, it talks to the phone, says launch Pandora, play, and you could say, you know, boom, what? Play my Rolling Stone station. And it does. Thumbs up, thumbs down, save a song for later. All the Pandora commands through your voice. They've also got Stitcher, Slacker. They've got NPR. Stitcher and Slacker let you listen to podcasts like this. They've got NPR, so you can listen to breaking news, live news, and NPR shows. They've got the iHeartRadio app from Clear Channel, so you could listen to radio stations, not just from your local stations, but all over the country, which is pretty amazing. If you want to hear, you know, my radio show and you're not in the area where it's carried, you say, play KFI on the iHeartRadio app and it'll play my show. You can have all your saved stations. They call it Clear Channel. iHeartRadio calls it the thumb play feature of iHeartRadio. You got to try this. They even have sync destinations. So some of the Ford syncs don't have a full GPS screen. You can get it either way, depending on how much you want to spend. If you don't have a full GPS screen, use the sync destinations in your iPhone, the Android phone. It'll give you the maps, the directions, the turn-by-turn, everything. It's pretty cool. I want you to drive one at a Ford dealer near you right now. All the latest Fords have Sync App Link built in. Bring your phone so you can try it out. Or go to Ford.com/technology. Ford.com/technology. We thank Ford so much for supporting our visit to NAB. Ford was at CES big time.
They were.
They're not really a broadcasting company or anything like
no,
that.
No, although, you know, with the merger of, as we're seeing, you know, the democratization and everything, iHeartRadio is a broadcast in a
right.
sense, you know?
Right, yeah.
So,
It kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, TuneIn Radio Pro, which is my favorite radio app for Android and iPhone, actually has a booth here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, there
and
you
I
go.
Imagine what they're doing is they're reaching out to broadcasters because, you know, CBS pulled all of their stations off of other companies' radio apps because they have their own app. I imagine they're worried that Clear Channel might do the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's really a shame because it's great if you can, if you're a fan of a radio station, to be able to listen to that radio station on the internet is huge, I think. Let's say hello to Geir Skaaden. It's good to see you. Skaaden,
yeah.
Good to meet you, Geir.
Come right on up to that mic.
All right, yeah.
And
nice being here.
You are from DTX?
From DTS, that's right.
Oh, DTS.
DTS.
I think Scott knows a little bit about DTS.
I have visited and talked with many people there. And
yeah, so, no, we appreciate it.
Yes.
Tell us what DTS is, Scott.
So DTS, we're dedicated to sound. So we're...
I see it on the movie theater. It says DTS sound,
that's right?
We're
a sound format. DTS HD, probably its biggest claim to fame is that it's the format for probably 90%, close to 90% of all the Blu-ray encoded movies.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This is a lossless coding format.
Ah, I like that.
Yeah, so it's excellent. Now, what's new at this show is that we've worked hard to create efficient profiles as a component of the DTS HD file format that allows you to deliver file digitally at much, much more efficient bit rates and still preserve the audio quality. So we're very excited about that in terms of supporting multi-screen delivery and digital delivery of movies.
Yeah. So is it still a lossless?
No, that would not be lossless. So the bit rate can go as low as 192 kilobits for 5.1 content.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, in a lot of ways, comparable to current broadcast bit rates.
Sure.
That's very low. I mean, 192. And you're getting six channels in there.
Six channels at 192 kilobits. So it's very efficient.
Yeah,
and one of the things that we're showing, I brought with me here.
You're going to have to let Scott hear this because Scott is an audiophile. He's the right guy to rate this.
So if you wanted to try this, so what this is a Android tablet. that has a ultraviolet player on it. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with ultraviolet.
It's a cloud storage of media content.
It's also copy protection for
that. Yeah. It's copy protection. So it's a secure cloud storage. So essentially it enables studios or retailers to give the consumer a disk-like ownership experience without having the disk.
Right.
It's essentially the vision.
Right.
Now, again, one of the challenges is with the digital delivery is to give the same level of experience.
Yeah.
So you have here is an Android tablet that has a ultraviolet player that supports 1080p video and DTS 5.1 audio. So if you want to plug headphones in, you can listen to the cut and you'll get a simulated surround experience on the
headphones. Go ahead, Scott. Do it. I want to hear. You can take those headphones off. He's got some he brought with
him. You got some? Okay.
Yeah. Some headphones there.
Do use good headphones. Don't use our silly little Sennheiser. Oh, they're the same headphones. Never
mind. Let's see what you think here.
Got to find the switch, the output first.
You still have to plug the headphones in.
You haven't figured out how to get around that.
All right, so let's go. Here you go.
Now, Scott Wilkinson is currently listening to 5.1 channel sound.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Is it surrounding you?
Good deep bass.
It's going all the way around?
Well,
I
wouldn't
one.
Say it's full surround.
Yeah.
But you're certain... There certainly is a space to it.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah, so what's happening here is that instead of streaming the traditional stereo, the file is actually a 5.1 file, and then we use the headphones to give you the simulated surround experience when you're listening on the go. So with that, you say it's not full surround,
right.
but it gives you a lot more depth and space than you naturally would.
There is a spaciousness to it that I wouldn't have expected, yes.
Yeah, and I also think with that, you get better image detail as well.
Yeah.
So, but the cool thing about this is that this also has the ability to have an HDMI connection. So you can use this as your media player at home. So if you
plug it into your home theater.
You could plug this into your home theater, your TV, what have you, and you'll get the 1080p video and the full surround in your home system.
Ah, so it's limited, of course, with headphones, with how much surround you could do. It has
to be simulated. It, yeah.
But that's actual 5.1.
Yes, so when you go home and connect that in the...
Does that work with DLNA?
It supports DLNA, ultraviolet.
Wow.
And we're also enabling the same resolution for streaming as well. So, we're very excited. It's a new area for us.
Are you streaming 5.1 discrete?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to do that. I want to do all our shows in surround with a subwoofer.
I like it. I'm totally there, man.
One of the main reasons we didn't, in traditional MP3s, if you go from mono, 64 kilobits, to stereo, you double the amount of bandwidth. It goes 128.
Right.
So you would think, well, we're going to do five plus one channel, six channels. It's going to do six times 64. It's going to take a huge amount of bandwidth. You're getting that in 192 is remarkable.
Yes, right.
Is that because of the encoding, the 5.1 encoding?
Yeah. So it's the way we do the encoding and the way we optimize the file before we compress and transmit it. So there's been a lot of work going on in order to take for us was to your point a lossless format. Be able to give that kind of efficiency that you know the studios and the retailers need these days without compromising the experience.
Well, certainly one thing we've seen here at the show, we saw during Home Theater Geeks earlier today, was that codecs in general are becoming more efficient.
Yes.
They're delivering more information with less bandwidth.
Yes. Now, I think, though, one thing that we still encourage people to use more bandwidth, more channels. And one of the things that we see as the key strengths of DTS HD as a format is that it is also still very scalable up. So you can still use the same file for the full resolution audio. And it also ensures backwards compatibility when you plug it in. Out of this new device into your old audio system that it will recognize the DTS file format and ensure seamless playback.
But certainly one of the things I've always appreciated about DTS in general is the scalability and backwards compatibility that you can have DTS HD lossless, and yet if you can't play that back, it just automatically downshifts to whatever you can play.
That's right. That's right.
Which is great.
The other thing I want to mention on this, ultraviolet, of course, is a consortium.
Right.
We are one of the founding members, but there's a lot of people putting work into making this experience happen.
Right.
And I especially also want to mention Cast Labs, who's really the leading media player developer for Ultraviolet today.
I'm sorry, what was the company again?
Cast Labs. It's a German company.
K?
Cast Labs.
Oh, Cast Labs. Okay.
Cast Labs, right. So we worked with them over the last couple of months to make this possible for the show. So we're very excited about the partnership with them. And our component, of course, is the sound.
Mm-hmm. And you can even go to 7.1.
Yes.
Or 11.1 with Neo X.
That's right. So this font format supports 7.1 at 448 kilobits.
Okay. Wow.
And then at around 510, you can do 11.1 as well. So it scales, yes. Both in terms of channels and in terms of bandwidth.
What about licensing?
So licensing of this happens. So we work with the device manufacturers. So we license so that the most efficient ways to implement this is to deliver the code to the actual device so it sits on the IC on the device itself.
Mm.
So we have a partnership with Qualcomm, Intel, and others that then deploy this on the IC.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the user wants to enjoy the content, it's already available and the player can use the processing on the tablet itself to decode the audio.
Very interesting.
It's great.
It's great to meet you. Thank you for stopping by, Gary.
Thank you.
It's fantastic.
Nice DTS.com
if you want to know more. And, of course, I would guess you're going to want to look for a DTS-enabled device the next time you go out and purchase a tablet.
Which most of them, I think, are.
Yes, yes. I will also say, though, that for some services, in order to ensure 100% footprint for a service provider, we also enable the player itself to decode a software.
You can do it in software. It doesn't have to be hardware.
Yeah, so we want to make sure that everyone has the right experience, even though the most efficient way to do the implementation is on the hardware itself.
So, yeah.
No question.
Gary Scogan, thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
From
thank
DTS.
You.
We're almost done. Yes, All About Android is coming up. People keep asking in the chat room. I know we're running a little bit late, but there's so much to see and do and hear at the National Association of Broadcasters show.
Tremendous amount.
I don't want to leave anybody out.
I know.
But we are going to get one more person in. I will just quickly run down our schedule because we are going to be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern time. By the way, if you want to get here early, coffee and breakfast will be delivered at 8 a.m. So arrive early at 9 a.m. and maybe a little bit before. We went on early today. We'll go on the air and continue with our coverage from 9 to 11 at 11 o'clock, Mac Break Weekly. And we've got Alex Lindsay, Larry Jordan. Our Final Cut Wizard is here, and I think there'll be some other special guests as well for Mac Break Weekly. We're going to be on the floor with you, Scott. You're going to be working hard tomorrow.
I'm going to be working hard, 10 to 3. I've got a bunch of appointments to do some pre-recorded things like we saw Alex do today.
That's great. And so we'll see some of that on the show over the next a few hours after that. Ham Nation is at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
Here, Gordon West is not here. Bob Heil is.
Yep.
And we'll get Gordo and George via Skype. Actually, I think George is going to be here. Kirk Harnack will also be here. Then we're going to take you to the Broadcast Minds panel.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
It's going to be a lot of fun at the Renaissance. I'm moderating that from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And that's going to include Kevin Pollack of Kevin Pollack's Chat Show. We've got Turner Broadcasting. We've got MTV. We're going to talk about the future of television.
Oh, man.
So that should be very interesting. And Kevin Pollack is about the funniest guy out there. I just love him. So there'll be lots to talk about with established TV folks and movie folks like Kevin, Turner, and MTV. But I'll talk a little. And Yamaha's going to be there as well.
No kidding.
Yeah, but I'll talk a little bit about disestablished TV folks.
Disestablishmentarianism?
That's my role. We cover the show, too, on Wednesday and Thursday. This Week in Radio Tech comes from the show floor, 9 o'clock Pacific, 12 Eastern on Wednesday. We'll have our parade of vendors most of the day. Triangulation is on its regular schedule. From here, I'll be interviewing some big names from the show floor, and we'll cover the ham radio reception on Wednesday night. That's
Can't wait for that. I'm going to be there for that.
Thursday morning, more in the parade of vendors. It's my goal, and I don't think we've ever accomplished this, but my goal on this particular coverage of the NAB show to get every single vendor on the stage or out in the show floor.
Oh, I don't know.
You will not miss a thing. You will see more NAB if you sit at home and watch Twit for the next 4 days than you would see if you came to Las Vegas.
I'm sure that's true.
Yes, probably is true.
Yeah.
You won't have as much beer. Maybe you will.
Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe you will.
Let's say, one more person. We've got Alex is out in the field.
He's out in the field.
He's going to talk to a company called Airstar. Alex Lindsay, you get to take us home.
Hi, this is Alex Lindsay, and I'm here with Mackenzie Perez from Airstar, and we're going to talk a little bit about lighting.
How you doing?
Doing well. So we've actually used these. These are AirStars. They're kind of big balloons. If you look up there, you're going to see some big balloons up there. What makes these really distinct from the standard lighting that most people use?
Most standard lighting is going to be harsh lighting, kind of like an Airy head. All of our lighting is going to give you highly diffused omnidirectional lighting. So it's a great solution. Instead of somebody setting up multiple lights trying to wash an area evenly, they can set up one of our lights and put nice soft lighting everywhere, diffused. So
one of the things that we've used these for, or this style of light, is for instance lighting a green screen, where you put a couple of them on either side and you're kind of done, right?
Right, yeah. We do that. We like green screens. Main use is going to be outdoors a lot, but a lot of studio lighting, a lot of green screen. Anywhere that somebody needs a nice flow of light, a nice wash of light, they can utilize our products. And of course, we have a huge product range, so we can give anybody what they really need.
These are different, a little different than what I'm used to, because usually, I guess, the ones that we've used are more like the one that's way up there, that giant balloon, where you just have a bunch of big balloons. We've done a couple, like, night shots, where we just stick six of them up there and light them all up, and that kind of creates that night look without having to put a whole bunch of hard lights everywhere.
Sure, yeah. You want that nice ambient light flowing all over, and that's really what looks good on camera. It makes everybody's face looks good. And
I know. Unless you have really, really good skin and really... Which isn't me. So these are great for me because they because I'm not really that kind of person.
The same thing goes for me. Yeah.
This one is a lot more portable. I haven't seen this one before, but this is a lot smaller, a lot more portable.
Yeah, this is our most portable gaff air unit. It's a 400 watt HMI, and the main purpose of this is to use really for what we're doing right now, for little walk and talks, meet and greets. It's air inflated, whisper quiet, so you can put it anywhere you want over audio. It doesn't affect it. And, the same, omnidirectional filter.
This would be great, like, if you have a stand-up somewhere where you're going to interview a lot of people. It's a real quick way. You can just kind of pop it up, turn it on. Everyone's going to look great.
Yeah, all the Gaff Air units, they set up in under 5 minutes, and they're ready to go. Minimal power. This is only 400 watts, so any little generator you could put it on, a house outlet, and ready to go.
Thank you, Mackenzie.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Take care.
Thank you. And this is AirStar at NAB 2012.
Thank you, Alex Lindsay. Wrapping it up for the day, all about Androids coming up next. And actually, Eileen's going to do the show from here.
Oh, great.
Via Skype.
Excellent.
So they're waiting in the studio to get her on the air. We're going to do that in just a second. Scott Wilkinson, I want to thank you so much for being around all day today. We did a great Home Theater Geeks. Everybody should go watch that.
Absolutely.
It'll be up soon on twit.tv.
Yep.
And you'll be back tomorrow to cover the show floor.
You bet.
One of our guys, we actually sent people out to get Scholl's inserts for your shoes, little rubber.
I actually have custom orthotics. And
are
they
you gelling? Okay.
I'm totally gelling, and they make all the difference in the world at a trade show like this.
Are you wearing your pedometer?
I forgot it.
Uh-oh.
I left home without it.
You don't need to know. You know you're walking a lot.
I'm walking a lot.
All right. Thank you, Scott Wilkinson. Thank
My
you
pleasure.
All for being here and for joining us. We'll be back. Three more days of coverage to come.
Woo-hoo.
We'll see how long my voice can last. From the National Association of Broadcasters show in Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm Leo Laporte. Have a great evening.